Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. It's going to be a fun one today. I've got in the house, we've got Stubergear, host of Stu Does America. Also Eric July, of course, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Ripaverse Comics. And I just have to ask you guys a very random but very important question. Someone told me in the comments that my new intro music sounds like it's Middle Eastern. And I can't unhear it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting now that you mention it.
It is a jam.
It's a jam.
I do love it.
Like, you're in a Dubai club. Right?
I can see that.
Yeah?
I was like, okay, all right, see? It's that.
Yeah, I can hear a little bit.
It kind of makes me not like it as much.
I mean, you're very multicultural already, Sarah, and you're just adding more ingredients
to have
into the recipe.
The ethnic spice is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it again. So, by the way, those of you who have not yet, make sure that you go subscribe to the audio podcast. We are gathering some of the reviews. So what you do is I believe Apple Podcasts now calls it follow. You follow a show rather than subscribe. But whatever that button is, hit it. Rate it 5 stars because we deserve no less, really. And give us a good review. And, you know, we're all about flattery here. So the nicer your review is or the funnier your review is, the more likely you are to see it read on the show, I would just like to say. I mean, if you're mean, I'm not gonna show people that you're mean. So the nicer you are, you get the picture. So I want to talk about these pro-Palestinian protests that are happening across the country, that it's just getting wilder and wilder. So we were talking yesterday about what happened with not just Columbia, but Yale, where these students are, I guess, taking the FAFO approach with daring these police officers to arrest them and getting suspended. And we saw, you know, Ilhan Omar's daughter who's like, I don't have a place to live and I can't eat because I can't go to the dining hall. And it's like, well, sister, play stupid games, I guess. And so we've been talking about that. But now Columbia University president has canceled all in-person classes and moved strictly to remote until the end of the semester. So we had heard that they had canceled it, but not for the end of the semester. So it's April. I don't know exactly when the end of the semester is, but surely they've got at least the end of April, but sometimes classes go into May. So I don't know, but that's how bad it is. It's not getting better. I want to show you guys one of the tents at the Columbia Liberation Zone encampment. Trans people for Palestine. Who wants to tell them? Who wants to tell them? You go to Palestine and show that sign and you will get thrown off a building if you're lucky. So this is, how much are they paying? $80,000 to go to these universities to be completely indoctrinated and learn nothing?
I wish it was just learning nothing. It's
that's fair.
Indoctrination is there.
Learning pro-terrorism ideologies.
Nothing of value.
Right. Thank you.
Point.
Thank you.
The trans thing is a fascinating one as well, in a really disgusting way, in that many of the people who were killed on October 7th were the most liberal and progressive among the Israeli people. They moved there right across the border to oftentimes help the Palestinians, to assist them in whatever struggles they were having, and as a sign of solidarity. And their reward for that was a knife to the throat over and over and over again. You're right. If they went there, they would find a very, very sad lesson about how wonderful how powerful their sign was in that part of the world. It would not do very, very, very well. It's just amazing to watch this all unfold. You know, I don't think the president of Colombia, it's interesting, she's different than some of the other presidents I've seen. It feels like she has absolutely no freaking idea what to do with this. She went in front of Congress and she sounded a lot different than those other leaders of the university. She was saying, yes, the anti-Semitism is wrong, calling for the genocide of Jews is against our policy.
Right.
That sort of stuff she was okay on. But she was also terrified of the people back at the school. She just wants, like, She's like the person who just wants to want to crawl up in a little ball and just hope it all goes away.
It goes away, yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's going away. That she's going to test that thesis, though.
She is, which I feel like is not who you want as president of the university if you're paying $80,000 a year for your kid to go to school there. I mean, it's gotten so bad that they have a Jewish professor that went on X and was like, I've been told, this was before they canceled all the classes in person, I've been told not to show up on campus because they can't guarantee my safety. Like, what? I think we have that. Let's throw that up here from the other day, if we do.
I know you're afraid. Bravery is not being afraid. Bravery is showing up when you're afraid.
So this is apparently the professor.
Showing up, and you all showed up, and you will keep showing up. And
who was
next
told
time
not
you
show to show up.
Bring 2 friends, bring 5 friends, bring 10 friends, Jewish and non-Jewish friends. We need to make the world understand that being Jewish in public is a safe thing.
It does not seem, like very safe right now.
We are fighting for everyone.
Okay, that's enough. So, you know, maybe it was a bad idea to just so liberally use the term literally Hitler to describe everything that Trump was doing that you didn't like, because now we have people literally calling for Jews to be killed, all sorts of anti-Semitism, just casually happening in the streets of New York City, and no one seems to understand. These are the same people who scream literally Hitler about everything, and now all of a sudden feels a whole lot like Nazi Germany.
Well, these young people are, that's the impressionable class. Okay, these guys don't know anything about anything, and that's
that was a nice
that
way
we
of saying stupid.
At, well, yeah, no, well, they're naive. I mean, if we want to be really literal with it, they're very naive, and they will go wherever they are essentially told to go. And this is the position that they are told to have. And that sign that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, that whole trans for that in itself, it's funny. And we should laugh at it because it should be mocked and shamed, as silly as it is. But that tells me and should tell everybody else that these people have no idea what it is they're actually advocating.
Right.
They don't know who they're advocating on behalf of. They have no idea. This is simply a position that they are told to have. And that's why I believe that class of people are so damn dangerous. It's really, and look, while I do believe that particularly the academics there, which is kind of biting them in the tail, but a lot of the academic class, status leftists, they have, they probably hate my stinking guts. They hated my stinking guts when I went to the freaking university. So I can imagine how bad it is right now. Mm-hmm. So I totally understand that. And while I might think that they're stupid, I believe that they're smart enough to understand that that is an impressionable class. And they have influenced a lot of these young people to come out as these absolute drones. We wonder why young people trend in the way that they are. It's because those are the indoctrination stations. Yeah. Universities all around the country are pretty much like that. It's not a whole lot of Northwood universities, big shout out to them, that are out there that like a core tenet of their university is free marketism. That's not what 99% of these institutions are. They know exactly what they are doing. Mm-hmm. So this is what happens, though, when you do allow that mammoth to grow and be exactly that. They get out of control. Mm-hmm. They get out of control, and now they're getting in the way. These are the clowns that y'all raised, right? Mm-hmm. These are the clowns that y'all have fostered, if you will. That's what happened. So now they've grown to be this sort of class of individuals. I use that term loosely because it's more of a hive mind. But they're a class of individuals that are now like in this sort of uproar, and the institutions themselves or the members of it, whether it be the presidents and so forth, they don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do.
The but chickens are coming home to roost. What do we do?
That's them. Y'all did that. And right. I think that needs to be said.
So I want to play. There was this, you know, do you ever think like there's nothing that I could ever watch that would make me sympathetic towards someone. And then you watch it and you're like, I actually feel bad for this guy. That happened to me today with Alec Baldwin, who I saw this clip of this person just totally harassing him, asking him to say, you know, say free Palestine, say this, say that, condemn this, condemn that. And honestly, I commend Alec Baldwin because I would have lost my cool way sooner than he did. But here is that exchange at a New York coffee shop. Watch.
Alec, can you please say free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time.
Don't even connect it, bro.
No jail time, Alec. No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec.
You probably
Alec
don't
Baldwin.
Lead with that if you want him to
Free
say
Palestine,
something.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a f***ing criminal. Come on, Alec.
Why do you
just
want
say,
him to say it?
Free
say
Palestine
it.
One time.
We want a criminal on our side.
One time. Just one time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. F*** Israel. F*** Zionism.
He's lasting a long time.
Please really say long. It. One time.
Could you give me one quick favor?
Totally support him.
I'm totally on his side. Yeah. I'm 100% on Team Alec Baldwin on that one. On the rest thing, he loses me.
Yeah.
But in that exchange, that person 100% deserved it. And I'm told that we have a picture of who this woman was, I guess. Oh, that is something. Looks exactly how I would imagine that she would look, and apparently goes by the name Crackhead Barney.
I could see that.
So I wanna play as well Joe Biden, who seemingly he was asked about all of this, and he seemingly had his very own, you know, for as much as this didn't happen, but they were like, Trump said there are very good people on both sides when all the neo-Nazi, the Charlottesville thing happened. And Biden seemingly had his own moment on the topic of Israel and Palestine yesterday. Watch.
Their anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Wait, what?
And how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
What's your review of Taylor's new album?
That was a surprising addition to that.
Yeah, very strange answer from Joe Biden, who's like, I condemn anyone who is anti-Semitic, but also you need to see the Palestinians' point of view. Try to walk that line and see what happens.
It's literally a remix of the Charlottesville comment. It's the same exact sentiment about the same exact topic.
Right.
Right. Like this was a protest about a bunch of people with the tiki torches saying Jews will not replace us. Seemed a heck of a lot, certainly smaller in number and less threatening than some of the protests I've seen.
No kidding.
Which is hard. I mean, that was a bad protest in Charlottesville. There's no doubt about it. But like I heard protests of long live October 7th, which to me is a heck of a lot more than what we saw even in Charlottesville. Regardless, this is the exact same response. And of course, like in Trump's case and in this case, I'm sure as well, like, there are people who are just liberals who like, you know, who don't like Israel or don't like the policies and like, you know, are worried about the Palestinians. Of course, those people exist. But like they also existed who were people who are worried about just our history being torn down in every statue or going to see Donald Trump speak on a day called January 6th and never went into the Capitol. That's never entertained by the media. All I've heard is coverage about the good people who are they're not the ones saying that Hamas is great and October 7th was wonderful and, you know, we don't want a two-state solution. We want all of it. These types of things are being said at every one of these protests, and very little attention has been paid by anybody in the mainstream media. It's really fascinating to watch, although I don't know at this point whether we should be surprised. I mean,
no.
The fact that this is not, do you remember what it was like after Charlottesville? Do you remember the amount of attention poured on Donald Trump for that comment, which we all understood? Every human being understood what he was saying there, right? Yep. He even specifically said that the Nazis and the racists and all those white supremacists are terrible, but there were very good people. We all knew what he meant, but we had to entertain this crazy idea that what he was talking about was he was praising white supremacists or something like that. And then here is Joe Biden saying the exact same thing. None of the attention on it at all. It's just, I honestly haven't heard anywhere else other than conservative media.
I know. I mean, thank God for social media, because that's where these videos are being put, that we can actually see them and bring them to, you know, our viewers. Because other than that, they're not going to turn on the nightly news and see it.
This whole conversation has been a trip because for the first time, it was even brought up to me yesterday when I was streaming. Someone talking about this whole deal, and they were like, yeah, something about being pro mass murder, basically, if you aren't. Or genocide was the term that they used, if you are not basically supporting their cause. And I just want to be very clear about this. You are both, and look, for lack of better terms, I know this is an unfiltered show, but I do believe that you are gay and retarded. If you do have this position where I, as an American or anybody else in America, should be at the top of their damn list of priorities or concerns should be what the hell is going on in Palestine and Israel. Because essentially what that crackhead, I mean, that's what she went by.
Literally.
You know, that is one of my terms. I know I'm known to use that. But crackhead there is basically telling you to pledge allegiance, bro, to a place that you don't live. And this is what gets me about this conversation, especially when I understand what the United States government and how, well, what they do and how dirty that their hands are, not just in this conflict, but more especially in the conflicts that happen in America, man. I just don't get it how, I get it. I get this much. What's going on in Ukraine sucks. What goes on in the Middle East, it does suck. But to anticipate that American people, especially during this day and age where their money's going far, far less, further than what it was in the past, people are struggling. Having issues paying groceries. You have what's going on if you live in the South in Texas with whatever the hell's going on with the border. And you have weirdos that insist that you are supposed to prioritize or pledge allegiance to either of these sides in a conflict that I have absolutely dick to do with. That is amazing to me, especially knowing what happened. This is April, bro. Pretty much everybody in this building right now probably had to pay some sort of bill to the federal government. Mm-hmm. I feel like that should piss everybody off. It pisses me off. I paid more this year than I've ever had to, or this past year in 2023 than I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm getting screwed over.
Yep.
I'd rather focus on that. I just don't understand it. They act like I don't live in a country where my own government is full of crap.
Yeah.
So I should care about what the hell's going on with the Palestinians, bro?
Yeah.
Nah, bro, I'm good on that.
Yeah, I mean, it is very strange because it's like, I am already very angry just with our own stuff. I don't need to get involved. My viewers tell me I'm very angry recently. So
yeah, I've never picked that up from you whatsoever.
I know, I'm like, recently? No. But I was just like, we have enough problems to be upset about and throw money at, which I'd already prefer that we don't. But let's maybe pass.
Yeah, and to just build off of what Eric's saying a little bit, one of the things that going back to the Alec Baldwin's situation where he's slapping the phone out of her hands, one of the most disturbing parts of that is not having anything to do with Israel and Palestine, nothing to do with the situation, nothing to do even with the protests. It's a very un-American concept of compelled speech.
Yeah.
This idea that you must say something, you must say something, you must be on record. You
know what?
Screw
filming.
You. I'll talk when I want it to. Yeah. You'll stop.
Even
harassing.
If I agreed to you, that old ultimatum.
Exactly.
That ultimatum. Never. You got me screwed up.
Exactly.
Bro.
And, let's be honest about it. Of course, Alec Baldwin agrees with her.
Oh yeah. Probably right. 99%.
He's Alec friggin'
yeah.
Baldwin.
Probably
of course,
so.
Alec Baldwin does. I would bet money on it that he agrees with the generalized cause there. But no one wants to be harassed, and it's the same thing with when people block my highways.
Yep.
I will never, ever support a cause. I will out of spite, break my principles and oppose my current position if you block me on the highway. I always say this about politicians. If you text me, I will not vote for you. That is a rule. It's a hard, fast rule. Hey, by the way, did you know, Stephen, that this election is coming up? Yes, I do know it now. And now I know not to show up to vote for you. There are certain things, and I don't know how this is possibly... this works for your cause. Is anyone being won over by being blocked from going to their flight that they have to walk through the grass with their roller bags?
Yeah,
I just don't even understand it.
They're like, well, I got in more steps today than I wanted, than I planned to, so now I'm on your side. No, that doesn't happen ever.
Did an angry person ever come up with a justification like that? That was wonderful, Sarah.
Thank you.
More steps. See, that's only a happy person would come up with.
That's a glass half full kind of gal. All right, let's take a quick break. break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So look, there is a reason that gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Well, there are several. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. And the cost of living, congratulations to Eric's point, is up 17.9%. So congratulations, America. We've got our own problems. The national debt continues to skyrocket. It's above $34 trillion. And the house of cards is going to come crashing down eventually. So there's a lot of instability. There's a lot of uncertainty. That is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. If you have not diversified your savings yet, I recommend Birch Gold. We have done business personally with Birch Gold and diversified even more into gold and silver right now, which is a great hedge against inflation. So here's what you need to do. Text the word Sarah to 989898. They're going to send you a free information kit. There's no obligation, but it's just going to explain how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you're not going to pay a penny out of pocket. So text the word Sarah to 989898. I've lost count of what day we're in the Donald Trump, Stormy Daniels, hush money trial, hush fraud, business fraud, all of these gymnastics that we're doing to get to some sort of crime that took place. But apparently the former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, which again is an unfortunate name, returned to the witness stand today. And it's just fascinating because, you know, I'm reading about, well, he said Donald Trump helped him with networking and helped him, you know, get connected to people. Donald Trump told him, congratulations, you bought a great magazine when he bought the National Enquirer. Donald Trump maybe asked him to help kill stories, negative stories about Trump before the 2016 election. And I'm reading all this and I'm like, why is he, what, why? Why is he on the witness stand saying any of these things? None of this is a crime. None of this is a crime. They're not accusing him. Now, as much as the prosecution in their opening statements tried to call him, they actually called David Pecker a co-conspirator. He's not being charged with anything. So none of this rises to the level of a crime. This is like a friend saying, hey, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't publish negative stories about me to another friend, and him not doing that, which, by the way, happens literally every day in mainstream media with these people. And it's just, maybe there's a silver lining here, because this legal analyst on MSNBC is not too confident in the prosecution's ability to even connect Donald Trump to a crime. This is MSNBC. Watch.
A big takeaway is that this is a crime about falsification of business records. And yet, what the government seems to have the most evidence of is of the underlying conspiracy. What's still unknown to me is how they're going to prove Donald Trump's own involvement in the falsification of the business records with which he's been charged. So we heard a lot of previews of the evidence of the construction of the conspiracy, who was involved in it, who will place Donald Trump with the knowledge and intent to commit election-related crimes. What I didn't hear as much about is how Donald Trump then directed the cover-up thereafter. For example, Willie, there is a 2017 Oval Office meeting between Donald Trump and Michael Cohen where the prosecution says they cemented the repayment deal. How are they going to prove that? One, through the testimony of Michael Cohen. But I was looking yesterday to hear,
you mean the
how
fraud?
Else are they going to prove that? They say they have a photograph of the two gentlemen at that meeting. They also have invoices days afterwards, and then a couple of days after that, the first payment to Michael Cohen. But I was hoping to hear that they have a lot more than that. Somebody who was also at the meeting, who overheard the meeting, who placed some of these documents in front of Donald Trump, heard his comments about it. I didn't hear that yesterday. I'm hoping that we hear.
We know you're hoping that.
More about the back end of the deal.
We're aware.
As much as they do about the front end of it.
Yeah, we know. You're very much hoping to hear more about that. I mean, but these are the same class of people who took a dossier that they knew was not vetted about Donald Trump peeing on people and totally ran to air with it, that rabid, to get Donald Trump on something. And now you have people on MSNBC like, I hoped that there was more. I really hope there is, because I hate Trump. I want him thrown in prison for life, but I'm just not seeing it. Boy, yeah, that might be a problem.
It's incredible. It's the reach of all reaches,
yeah.
This entire situation, right? Like you have, you have one incident, the payment from Trump / Cohen to Stormy Daniels. David Pecker had absolutely nothing to do with that.
Right.
He had nothing to do with that. He at one point was considering looking at it, but then wound up saying, you pay for it. So it didn't come. He didn't have anything to do with that. These are other women, other situations. By the way, as they talked about in trying to prove Trump guilty of this, said that he had an existing relationship going back to his time at The Apprentice to kill stories, mm-hmm. which again is not illegal and not
right.
a crime.
Right.
So the
it happens all the time.
But a key part of it making it a crime was tying it to the election. And then they all said they actually had this relationship going from long before he was even running for president. It makes absolutely no sense. And then there's 34 charges against him. Mm-hmm. The 34 charges against him is incredible. They go, the way they get to 34 is 11 checks written to Michael Cohen.
For the same payment.
So $130,000, and then he paid him back in monthly installments. 11 checks written to Michael Cohen. 11 invoices written by Cohen to get the money.
For the same payment, same checks.
And 12 entries into the general ledger. Now, of course, if you know anything about Donald Trump, he's not there with his pen writing in the general ledger about his business practices. That's not his role in the enterprise. And beyond that, this is just one thing, right? This is turning one thing into 34 things. How can 11 of the counts be about Michael Cohen submitting an invoice? Like, if I get an invoice from someone, I can be convicted of a crime for it? The whole thing is completely ridiculous. And, you know, to get over this hump, even if we had all this, this would just be a misdemeanor anyway. These would all be misdemeanors. They have to tie it to another larger crime, which they haven't even told anyone what it is. They keep saying election interference, which is not a specific thing, and certainly nothing he's been charged with. There's no other crime. The other people who would need to charge him with a crime have not done so. This is as bad as it gets. Sometimes Trump says, oh, they're coming after me and I've been wronged. And sometimes he stretches that. Sometimes he's kind of BSing. Sometimes he's done stuff that's wrong and he should be hit on. You know, there's all sorts of real things occasionally with Donald Trump. This one is completely ridiculous. It is fair. If you want to look at your president and say, look, I'm voting for president. I don't like what he did here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that decision when you go to the ballot box. But right. to try to throw him in prison over this is a whole nother line. It makes absolutely no sense. It is the weakest of the cases. And that's saying something.
I agree with you, Stu. But I am going to say, I still am uncomfortable with them saying, well, you get to choose at the ballot box. Because now you have people going to the ballot box who are like, do I really want a president that has 91 indictments? Well, what if they're all BS? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they're already poisoning the voter's mind by even accusing him of these things, because then they're like, oh, but we don't want a felon as president. Well, when they've completely weaponized the judicial system against someone, how can he not be a felon? Does that mean that he deserves that title? No. So they've already poisoned the well. And that's what's so frustrating to me.
I think that's the point right there.
Of course it is.
Look, when you... With Trump, it's they start at one place and then they're working themselves backwards. OK, so it's like, I want to end up here. How we get there is not even damn important.
Right.
So we'll just make some stuff up if we got to, because you're explaining this. I have no idea what role Pecker even plays in that. I don't think any of us actually do. But that's not the point.
Yeah.
I think the point, and you hit on a great one, Sarah, is exactly what you brought up. As long as they can keep this charade up. Because even when I hear other people that don't really talk politics, they bring this stuff up, indictments. And,
yeah,
and
but he has 91 indictments.
Because their mind is already made up that this man is not fit to fill said position.
Right.
And we don't like the guy because of that. Even if I can't express what the hell he did wrong, if anything at all. So perhaps this is even good enough. And maybe that is a little scary, because for a lot of the American people that do get out there and vote, it's good enough. So let's say it's even proven that a lot of this stuff is BS. Would it be too late for the American people, or for some of the American people who look at these indictments and say, well, this is not someone that I want to support?
I want to give a good example of that. Ken Paxton, Attorney General Ken Paxton here in the state of Texas, for like almost a decade of his life was under indictment for securities fraud charges. Okay. They used it every election. They said he's under indictment, but he's under indictment. And there are so many people in this country or in the state, I guess, that they were banking on that didn't understand what that term means, yes, that they associate guilt with indictment, that they thought that they could poison the minds of enough Texas voters to dissuade them from voting for Ken Paxton. Well, let me tell you how that turned out. Almost 10 years later, it was all dismissed. Yes, there was a pretrial diversion, which who wouldn't want to sign that? The amount of money that you're going to spend on lawyers, where they completely threw away this, all of this evidence that they claimed they had mounting against him. Every time they wrote about it, they said he faces 99 years in prison for securities fraud charges. And then they just walked away from any prosecution. You know what that tells me? It was a weak freaking case from the beginning. That's it. Yeah. And Ken Paxton, of course, has spent a decade having to go through this and says, yeah, I'll sign an agreement that I'm not admitting any guilt because I didn't do anything wrong. And let's just walk away from this. And he did. But that's not what a prosecution does who has a strong case. But they were able to use it against him for almost a decade of his life. And how did that turn out? With absolutely no guilt. That's it.
Court of public opinion, man. That's what they bank on. And they're smart enough to do that.
Right.
And look, I wish that the American people would be able to analyze situations, especially legal ones, the way that, you know, you do.
Right.
But it's all being filtered, man. It's all coming from the MSNBCs of the world.
Because when they write about it, they say he was indicted and faces 99 years in prison. They string it all together.
Exactly. And they filter it that way. And they use that sort of language because they know that the general public is going to associate that with something bad.
Right.
Even if it comes after the fact that it went away. I use an example. Obviously, this is a very, very small example. I'm not comparing myself and my situation to what Trump did. But if you guys remember, we had my company in Riververse had this issue with a church regarding ISOM. Now, that went away. Obviously, there wasn't anything there. Us both parties said we're walking away from this. No wrongdoing. We're going about our business. Some people already had their mind made up because they hear X and O got sued and therefore he did something wrong. And there's people still to this day that believe that despite everybody admitting that nothing wrong happened here. So this is to a much larger degree, obviously, and you're dealing with not only just more accounts, but this is the freaking former president of the United States. They know what they're doing because they don't anticipate that the American people will do a bit of research. They're just going to associate something like indictment with something bad, and they're going to disqualify you.
Unfortunately, that happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, I think conservative voters would be really dumb to just blow this off. I think it's a real threat. I mean, you know, poll after poll after poll says there is a very small percentage, but a significant percentage of people who say, if he's a convicted felon, I won't vote for him.
Right.
I don't tend to believe those people. I don't know anybody like that, but it's just hard to believe that you're like, I'm going to vote for Trump. Oh no, these cases are too strong. Like, I don't know who that person is, but maybe they're telling the truth, right? And that should make you nervous. On the other hand, though, the Paxton example is maybe a little encouraging, right?
Yeah.
Paxton had that the entire time. You're right, that it turned into nothing. But he also kept winning elections.
Yes.
He also kept winning even primaries in Texas.
Yeah. Yes. So that's millions of dollars against him.
Millions of dollars against him. And Trump obviously has more of a bully pulpit than Ken Paxton will ever have. So it is there is a chance there. And I think this first one's really going to be interesting. Everyone keeps saying the other three cases coming against him might not come before the actual election because they keep getting delayed and everything else. If he can somehow get a hung jury in this one case, it may very well feel to voters, wow, they came after him with all that stuff and got nothing.
Right.
And that might give you the reverse of that. Maybe people will say, wow, they really are coming after him. Right. Maybe he'll get a boost of positive media out of that.
Hey, look, you're a glass half full kind of guy, too.
That's what I do on the show, because it's not an angry show. It's a freaking nice, beautiful, happy show.
It's fun. We're laughing.
She's wearing pink. How can you be sad when you're wearing pink?
All right, let's take a quick break. We first want to thank our sponsor, Jace Medical. So those of you who, you know, maybe you don't remember COVID when there were all these drug shortages, because it turns out most of our medication is manufactured in China, which I could actually just go off on in and of itself, but I won't right now. And so there are drug shortages that happen all the time. And the problem is, when you have something like, you know, say your kid gets strep throat, what happens if you don't have access to amoxicillin? that could turn into a very deadly bacterial infection. That is why you need the Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains 5 essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And they've also got other offerings that you can use to personalize. They've got ivermectin as well as other options. And you can get a gift card for your family or your loved ones if you want to. Maybe you've got a grown adults with families of their own. Get them a gift card so they can also get a personalized Jace case, make sure that they are empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. You can go to Jace Medical and enter code Sarah for a discount. That is jasemedical.com, promo code Sarah. So a 75-year-old Arizona rancher by the name of George Allen Kelly has received a mistrial after he was accused of shooting dead a Mexican migrant on his land. So they were accusing him of murder. And only one of the jurors believed he was guilty, thank God. But I can't believe one of the jurors believed that he was guilty. This was on his ranch. There was an illegal immigrant. He was charged with second-degree murder because he fired 9 shots toward a group of men about 100 yards away from him on his cattle ranch. And I just, this is wild to me that you can even be accused of this and go through this in this country. Thank God that it was a mistrial. But the fact that anyone could hold that up and say he's guilty of defending his own property is so wild to me. And I want to get your thoughts on this, gentleman, but I want to also play, as we talk about this conversation of illegal immigration, I want to play you guys Alejandro Mayorkas, of course, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, being asked why the government hasn't taken any executive action at the border. Watch.
Why not take executive action right now? Why not do more right now to address this?
What executive action are you suggesting that we take that we haven't taken that would survive court scrutiny?
The action where you close the border? Is that...
Bad word, Sarah. That was a bad word.
Apologize. It's the anger.
I see. It's an angry show. That's what I've been saying. Very angry show.
I am so flabbergasted sometimes that these people are real people. Like, they just seem like such NPCs. What do you mean? What executive action? There are at least like 3 different roles and authority of the president. I wish I remembered the category that it's in. It's like subsection, you know, D, number 2. There's at least 3 different places that the president today could exercise his authority to shut the border down, and he just chooses not to. And they act as if this isn't a law that's already on the books. It's already illegal. We just have to enforce it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could start, obviously, the answer to that is you could start with a lot of the stuff that Trump had on the books that you took off of it.
Correct. Right?
That's a nice, easy place to start.
Does it sound less angry when I speak very calmly?
Yeah, very calm. Very calm. It's very good. I will also say, at what point during the past 3 or 4 years have we seen Joe Biden care once about what the court's going to say about what he does in executive action? His entire presidency has been being overruled by the courts for things that are obviously unconstitutional that he puts in anyway. Yeah. I mean, the student loan debacle, he just keeps doing it over and over and over and over again, and they keep saying no. The moratorium on evictions, the same story. He keeps going back to the well over and over again. They keep telling him no. He kept doing it anyway. This man doesn't care about what will get through the courts at all. He doesn't care about the Constitution at all. He's taken immediate action, executive action, for things that he cares about and wants to happen over and over and over again with absolutely no regard whatsoever as to what our traditions, our laws, our Constitution say. That is the defining characteristic of his presidency. To act as they can't come up with anything to close the border is insane. He just does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. So if he wanted this to happen, he could make it happen.
Eric.
Look, I'd love to go back and focus on that unfortunate situation of someone being charged with murder for defending their private property. See, these are the most rotten ones in the types of laws, let's say, that are in the books. Anyone that prohibits you from being able to defend yourself and therefore your property, right, is a fundamental problem.
Yeah.
And I think that I would love for the American people, its politicians, though I am not anticipating that, would focus on those. There's a man that is on trial. I don't give a damn if they were illegal or not. You're trespassing, bro.
Right.
You're trespassing. Right. What your status is isn't even important to that. Acts of aggression are acts of aggression, and I get it. You have people that, for whatever reason, look at private property as if it's a negative thing, right? So you can do whatever you want. Oh, it's just private. We spent the last 2020, summer love.
Yeah.
They were telling everybody that
they have insurance.
Yeah, they have insurance. Just stuff.
Right.
It's just stuff. So people can do whatever they want. Not entirely true. Not true at all, actually. But the fact that there's laws out there that can put a man on trial where basically his life is quite literally on the line. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's in the hands of maybe jurors and such. But the fact that that's even an option freaks me out. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, they could retry the case. Right. They could.
They could even find him guilty.
Right. That's, I mean, I would option. Hope that they
would.
That's
wouldn't. The thing. But the fact that the man is even on trial.
He's still spending thousands and thousands of dollars on legal
bills. Lawyer fees, all of that.
Right.
And that's a problem, though. And it's like that when we combat anything. I try to always take it back to private property rights, which all rights extend from. And that is, it starts with yourself and you owning yourself. Right. And that's why nobody has the right to aggress upon you. You can look at, let's say, something like murder as a bodily invasion, if you will. Nonetheless, you don't have the right to aggress upon people and invade on said private property. And the fact that, again, there's any sort of conflict where, OK, the cops are going to go and arrest a person. I mean, we saw this happen. I hate to go back to the Summer of Love in 2020, but it happened so often back then, like that pawn shop owner that went to freaking prison he didn't go to prison, got arrested because he killed a looter. And it's like, because he didn't run away, because they have a duty to retreat law in places like Minnesota, I believe it was. I can't remember exactly where it was, but that's insane to me, man.
It really is.
And just quickly point out, that this, as much as this is, you know, illegal immigrant tied to an illegal immigration issue, it's really not an illegal immigration issue. Anyone who comes on my property and is an aggressor towards me is automatically illegal.
Yeah.
They're trespassing.
Right,
yeah,
right. Absolutely. We're all illegal immigrants now.
I don't care if you were born in Topeka. Yes, you're an illegal immigrant on my land.
Yes.
And that's the end of the story.
Amen. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. I regret to introduce you to a fat activist, Virginia Soul Smith, who has sparked controversy recently for saying childhood obesity is not a problem, only anti-fat bias is, and she lets her children eat whatever they want, including an entire stick of butter. Also, she does not in her house label foods as good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, and she serves her two children dessert and snacks along with their dinner. In fact, I believe they eat the desserts first in her house. And she said, you guys are going to be shocked to hear this, her marriage didn't last.
What?
Because the dad said, hey, I think we shouldn't let our kid eat a stick of butter as a snack. And she said, we would all do a lot better to be less afraid of divorce, just as we would do a lot better to be less afraid of being fat. So this woman belongs in jail for child abuse. Period.
It ain't much else to argue. That person, that's child abuse.
That is
absolutely quite literally child abuse.
You are making your child more susceptible to diabetes and all sorts of health problems once they enter adulthood. Yes. That is absolute child abuse. Yeah.
Nothing else to discuss. But, man, where are we at in the West where that is
it's controversial.
A controversial thing to say.
Amazing.
That, hey, bro, you shouldn't be fat. That's not good. That's not good.
I mean, it legitimately, she says, you know, it's...
She says there's nothing wrong with being fat.
There's nothing wrong with being obese.
That's even worse, right? Because that's a medical term.
Childhood obesity is a myth.
Yeah. No, it's real.
The number on the scale doesn't lie, honey. Maybe you should learn that yourself.
Eating a stick of butter as a snack is disgusting. I just, first of all, want to say that.
Stu is just judging the snack choice.
I will say, if you put that stick of butter melted on popcorn, it's completely fine. I'm fine with it. It sounds delicious. I will say, you know, maybe having some control over what your kids eat is part of being a parent. Like, you know, I think part of it is like we have such bounty in this country, right? Because of the blessings of God and capitalism that have brought to us basically any food we want at any time, which is an incredible place to be. And we've never had, no other society on earth before us ever had that problem.
Our poor people are fat.
Our poor people are fat. And look, that's great. I gotta say, that's a great freaking development. I don't think that's bad. I think it's fantastic. That doesn't mean we don't have self-control. And like, look, kids want to, of course, eat every crazy thing. If you don't limit that for your kids, they will not learn the right way to eat, and they will grow up and be, unfortunately, like her,
yeah,
which does not seem to be someone who's very healthy.
My three-year-old... he, by the way, just learned what a popsicle was like 2 weeks ago, because that's what kind of parent I am.
That's a good day.
But he just recently, also with lollipops, we had gone to some festival and he had gotten one. And so I put it in the back of the pantry and, you know, save it for a rainy day because we don't eat that all the time. And so this morning, 7 a.m., he goes and gets his stool and says, I want candy.
Mm.
And my answer was no. Because I'm a good parent. If I were this woman, it'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm not going to police what you want to eat. We don't parent body size, this large woman says. We don't parent body size. You could do a lot of harm. Well, no, you could do a lot of harm if you let your children have candy for breakfast, which is why God entrusted you with your children so that you could be their parent and guide them and tell them no.
Candy's not for breakfast. Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops. That's the sort of breakfast that God.
You're the wrong person to have on for this segment.
You should have disinvited me for this segment. I understand what you're doing.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Just want to shout out AOC. Congratulations to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think she just got a promotion as Joe Biden's handler, apparently. Let's watch this. She is definitely...
Extend the anti-Semitic protest!
Look at him, Shufflesworth over here. And so she was the one tasked with guiding him off of the stage, which... honestly was smart, because the man he has no idea how to exit a stage properly, no idea where he's supposed to go. Even when they clearly show him, he screws it up. So AOC has been promoted to handler, at least for Earth Day.
That was the right before the other clip we showed of Joe Biden, where he was asked about the anti-Semitic protest. You know how AOC just bolted right then? Like, she did not want that question in front of cameras. That was hilarious. She just like flew. Like,
yeah, she really did.
She was out of there.
Because usually she's never met a camera she doesn't like.
Oh, she loves the camera, that girl.
But that one, she's like, look at the time. Gotta go. And left poor Joe there to flounder.
It's a good promotion for her.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I think it's a promotion for her. Honestly, it's a promotion for America, the least she opens her mouth.
Yeah. Just this letter.
Less amount of times we have to hear from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or she is on the House floor debating things and voting on things, the better off we are as a country, I say.
Fair.
So put her out there as Joe Biden's handler. She can handle him right on into the retirement community come January of 2025.
So far away.
God, please.
So far away. Holy crap.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.